listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by one of the great national security reporters of our time. He is Rowan Scarborough. He writes for these days for the Washington Times, where he is their national security reporter. He is also the author of two best-selling books, Rumsfeld's War, The Untold Story of America's Anti-Terrorist Commander, and Sabotage, America's Enemies Within the CIA. Rowan, it's so good to have you back. Welcome.
Good to talk to you, Frank.
You have been doing a series of articles that I think have been incredibly important, Rowan, in recent weeks about this so-called dossier about Donald Trump, in which it was alleged that he had conducted himself in a manner that lent itself to, blackmail or other coercion by the Russians. You have really picked this thing apart, and I wonder if you might quickly tell us the story and how on earth this thing continues to have any legs at all.
I'd be glad to, Frank. There's two things going on today. Democrats continue to cite this memo from an opposition researcher who happens to be a former British spy, Christopher Steele. On the other hand, as people look at this dossier closer and closer, it becomes more and more inaccurate. And so it shows to a certain degree how desperate Democrats are to nail Trump and to get some sort of a special prosecutor or special commission that they have to cite this discredited piece of paper. And my latest reporting was that I obtained a court filing from Mr. Steele himself in London, where he's being sued for libel over his dossier. And in it, he acknowledges that a major charge that he made was not verified, that he put it into the dossier and it was for others to verify, not for him. It kind of shows you, if you extrapolate that onto the rest of the dossier, it shows what it really was. It was just sort of unvetted intelligence.
It was a hit piece is what it was, to put a fine point on it. And as you say, Rowan, despite the fact that it seems to be, a fabrication, it is still being cited by Democrats. How do they get away with this?
Because the New York Times media does not call them on it. That's how. I mean, at the March 20th House Intel Committee hearing, four Democrats read from the dossier, read unsubstantiated charges into the record. And there was not a hint of protest from the New York Times media that maybe this is not an ethical thing to do.
It sort of violates fundamental rules of journalism, doesn't it? As a serious practitioner of the craft.
Frank, in my opinion, I mean, that I wrote the next day, I wrote a story about all the charges that they cited in that dossier in public that have not been verified. And if that's all they have, that's all they have.
And just to be clear, Rowan, for our audience's benefit and my own, when you say the New York Times media, you don't simply mean the New York Times Inc. media. You mean the media that is dominated by the now nakedly partisan character of the New York Times.
Some people call it the mainstream media. I call it the New York Times
media. Right. I just wanted to get calibrated here. It's unbelievable. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like it in 40 years in Washington. Let me turn to something else you've been writing about. Much in the news, of course, of late has been the deployment of a U.S. missile defense system known as the THAAD to South Korea. In part, it's in the news because there's a lot of bad stuff going on in North Korea, of course, and the president is anxious to communicate to our friends and allies in the region, to our own forces there, for that matter, that he's trying to take seriously the threat from North Korea. He also, I'm afraid, made a comment to the effect that the South Koreans would pay $1 billion for that missile defense system, which seems to be playing unhelpfully into their election this weekend for a new president. Rowan, talk a little bit about that, if you would, and specifically what the North seems to be doing to try to, defeat that THAAD system.
What I obtained, Frank, was an internal report that went to Congress from the Congressional Research Service, and it was an analysis of Kim Un's strategy in launching all these ballistic missiles, because it's sort of his calling card. It's how he gets his neighbors jittery. It's how he brings importance to his dictatorship in terms of international opinion. And according to the CRS report, especially last year, they were launching their ballistic missiles, their short range and their medium range missiles, as high as they could possibly get them, so it would descend at a much sharper angle and at a much faster speed. And in their calculations, this can defeat our interceptors, our counter-missile interceptors. And we put THAAD in place earlier this week, and we have Patriot there now. So it discloses that they're really serious about these missiles, that they do plan, if they think it's necessary, to launch missiles at our troops and perhaps at the capital of Seoul. And they're trying to come up with a way to defeat our defense systems, which may work. And, of course, the other way they're doing this is they're trying to perfect the submarine-launched missile, which would be outside of THAAD's radar. You know, it would take a ship anti-missile system to be able to knock it down. So they're obviously trying to keep our anti-missile systems as busy as possible and having to cover as wide a range as possible, which tells me they are planning for war. I mean, if this guy thinks he's in trouble down the road, that his regime is in trouble, he's going to launch these things.
Yeah. And Rowan, two quick points on all of this. One is there are reports that fins have been seen on the warheads of some of these missiles. It's not entirely clear whether they would work or whether they're real and all of that, but conceivably they would add a maneuvering capability to these devices that might make them much more challenging, if not impossible, for THAAD to hit. But also, there's been a report that one of the missile tests this weekend, past weekend, had that very high altitude loft to it, and then detonated at the apex, I believe, which suggests that one of the other techniques that the North Koreans have in mind is an electromagnetic pulse attack. So your reporting on this is bang on and very, very much appreciated as well. Let me ask you about one last thing that you've discussed, and that is the travails now of a really extraordinarily impressive man who has been nominated to be the next Secretary of the Army, Mark Green. Talk a little bit about him and what's going on with respect to his confirmation.
That's right. Mark Green is Trump's pick to be the next Army Secretary. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. He was an infantryman. Then he went to medical school and was a flight surgeon assigned to special operations. And he was in Iraq twice and Afghanistan twice. He received the Air Medal with a V device for valor. So he's a war hero. And then he got elected to the state Senate in Tennessee, and he started his own medical providers business, which has been quite successful. So he seems like a really good pick to be Army Secretary, right? Well, not to the gay movement, because they say that he has made comments about transgender people that are insensitive. He's likened it to a medical condition, which, of course, the Pentagon did for years.
Well, and I think actually the medical community does as well, even to this day, does it not?
And he also, they said, has made unsensitive comments about Islam. So that's kind of the classic attack from the left on a conservative Christian, in my opinion. And so they want, you know, Trump to withdraw the nomination. And so far, I don't see any indication they are. He wrote on Facebook, Mr. Green did, Dr. Green, a vigorous defense that the gay rights movement is cherry picking a comment here and a comment there, totally out of context. That he's always talked about Islamic terrorists, as the enemy of the United States, not Islam.
I know you'll keep on it. Come back to us again, Rowan, very soon, if you would. Thanks so much for your time today. Next up, our duty expert on Venezuela, Russ Dallin, joins us straight ahead.